Dear Heavenly Father, we approach the throne of your word because it's so powerful. Father, it is our very life. It's everything that we are in this earth. Father, I thank you that you're showing us how to interpret it properly so that we begin to live a life that is going to be inexhaustible. We will live eternal life out through this word. So, Father, may we begin now and understand it. For when we're placed into eternity, we live off of what we've been placed into. I want to be placed into it in abundance in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I actually get right into the word, I want to tell you that Mr. Brame finally went home to be with the Lord. He was the elderly guy that sat back there. He was the policeman that, I don't even know who Brame is. He was the father of the policeman that shot his wife. It was a while back, and we held the services for him. It'll be tomorrow at 2 o'clock. You're all invited at Mountain View Garden Chapel. That's over on Stillicum Boulevard, is it? Yeah, that's where that is. So you're all welcome. So Mr. Brame, his Sunday, this is his second Sunday service right there. Well, they don't have weeks there, do they? It's just eternity. But it's our second Sunday that he's been there. Praise God. Well, if you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 22. And let's go to verse 34 again. Matthew 22, 34. Now, what I'm going to share today will if it don't change you, it'll sure challenge you for change. It's probably one of the areas that when I begin to really have the insight for this specific understanding, and I'm talking about from the natural plane, from this world focus, it made things a lot more difficult for me. And as a result of that, then the Lord began to show me the right application to this understanding that we're going to learn about today. And because all people have not the knowledge of this area, sometimes when you have to judge things, it can be very difficult. Because not everybody understands the love of God. But in Matthew 22, we had, this has been the focal point of our teaching. One of the Sadducees, or what was a Pharisee, or Sadducee that was speaking. Well, he said, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Very interesting. Matter of fact, if you'll hold your place here, go over to Matthew chapter. I'm on. Oh, okay. What'd you do? Hit the knob there? In Matthew chapter 7, I want to take a look at a very interesting verse. Look at verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. But notice what he says over here in Matthew 22. He says that you're to love the Lord your God with three things. Three things. And one of them is heart, one of them is soul, and one of them is body. And the word for heart, everyone knows what that means. Some people don't know what it means. They think they do. I know he hasn't been at church. I know that he kind of went back into the world, but the Lord knows his heart. Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Yes.
The Lord knows his heart. That so grieves me when they say that, because what they're doing is they're saying God is making an exception for their excuses for them not to love him with their whole heart. God won't do that, people. God stays who he is. Now, what good does it do for God to know your heart and you not to? What good is that going to do you? You got to know your own heart. But he says you have to love him with all your heart and your soul and your understanding, or mind, understanding. That's the whole man. If you ever wonder why it's so difficult for people to come into the kingdom of God when you preach Jesus to them? Because they got to surrender what they are in the natural. And that ain't going to be easy for people to make that decision or that choice. You have to kind of promote them into salvation. You have to kind of let the Lord Jesus and the Father work in their heart for them to come on into the kingdom of God. So what you have to do is you have to be able to present yourself in such a way that they would understand what you're trying to lead them to. Sad to say, a lot of ministers don't even know what salvation is. They think they do, but they don't. Now, he says that you're to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Some of your translation says understanding, and that would be a good interpretation. Well, and then it goes on to saying the second great commandment is the same as that first one. It's co-equal to it, that you have to love your neighbor the same way that you love God. Now, how many of you are ready to write some statements down today with pencil and paper? You're going to need to write some of this down. Now, there are scriptures that kind of really confuse us when we read them, because most of the time we don't know how to love God with our whole heart and with our whole soul and with our whole mind. Those are easy words to say, but they are difficult to understand if you don't understand them. In Luke chapter 16, go to verse 26. Luke 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Wow. Boy, verses like this kind of give us an indication that we've got to abandon everything in order to follow the Lord. But that's not where the Lord's coming from these statements. Because really, doesn't it kind of joggle your mind a little bit that you are to hate your family in order to be a disciplined follower of Christ? Does that do a number on your thinking? Come on, people. How many of you read? There's another one in John chapter 14 kind of indicates the same thing. And so when you read scriptures like this, you go, oh my gosh, in order for me to love God, I got to completely ostracize myself from family, from this world, in order to love him. Well, you know, Jesus, when he says something, you have to understand what his motive is, what his real intent is all about. Not just go by the blanket words that are stated there. Now, you know, let's take a look. We're talking about the love of God now. The love of God. And most believers say they love God and they know God. They don't. They know about him, but they don't know him.
There's one thing to know about somebody, it's another thing to really walk with them and develop a relationship and then really get to know them. Then you see them in a whole different light. Now, stay focused today, because I'm going to share some things that will put a whole lot of responsibility on you, but really what it'll do is it'll open your eyes up to really what it means to love God with your whole heart, your soul, and your mind. First of all, the word heart means what has influenced you in your inner being. What your heart is really all about as a result of things passing through your natural carnal mind. Because the word there for soul is the word psuche, which is the word used for the lower region of a man's soul, his physical realm, not his spiritual realm. And so everything that has passed through his natural understanding has influenced the issue of the man's heart. And as a result of that, everything that he is now through that in understanding. In other words, his mind is now preoccupied with what came through his natural understanding and what affected or influenced his heart. He is motivated, he is taking action, and he's doing what occupies his mind of as a result of those two realms. Now I'm going to tell you something about the Word of God, people, that I've learned. I want you to get a hold of this. How many of you know the priest Eli in the Old Testament? Oh, he was a priest unto God. But he didn't know how to honor God. But the amazing thing about it is, he's a priest of the Lord. I found out just because you called yourself a priest don't necessarily mean you're honored by God. The word honored is a very interesting word there in the Hebrews. Carries over the same meaning in the New Testament. It's called weighty. Something that's weight. Weight has weight to it. So when you say you honor someone, it means they carry more weight with you than something else does. And you know, it's very funny, you know, Eli. You say, well, Lord, it's because he just didn't know how to hear your voice. And he says, oh, Eli knew how to hear my voice. And I said, oh, and he says, you better go read the story about Eli. And so I went in and read the story about Eli and went into shock. Eli knew God. Guess what? Eli could hear his voice. Little Samuel, they don't know how old he was when he was young, but this voice came to him in the night three times. And every time it came to him, he'd run in there to Eli's chamber and wake Eli up because he was overweight, he was extremely fat, he was irresponsible about how he carried himself, which means that he doesn't really carry much weight with the Lord, because if it was up to the Lord, he wouldn't be carrying the weight he was carrying. Now, I'm not against those that are overweight, believe me. I'm not, because thou canst see. But the story says that Eli never corrected his two sons. They were bringing a reproach to the ministry. They were doing what they wanted to do, and he wasn't correcting them. He probably had the attitude, God will straighten them out. Well, God did. He straightened them right out of this planet. Anyway, Eli finally did Samuel did what Eli said to do. Next time he speaks, answer the Lord. And so the next time the Lord came to Samuel, Samuel says, yes, Lord. And so the Lord said, tell Eli, him and his kids are finished. So he went back, and Eli said, what did the Lord say? Samuel says, you sure you want to know? You know, sometimes the Lord will tell us what we're going to do, but sometimes he won't put in there whether it's right or wrong. But we have to figure that out for ourselves. And so, you know what Samuel did? He told him. You know what Eli did? He said, that was the Lord. How would you feel if God told you your kids, they're a wreck, and I'm removing them, and you're going to be removed too? You know what? He probably heard that, but didn't really believe in it. Then this verse keeps coming up in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Well, let's go there. We'll look at the verse. Because the verse is what set off the story. What am I trying to get across to you? How important the Word of God is in our heart and in our soul and in our mind. They're very important to the Lord. How important? Well, 1 Samuel chapter 2. I want you to go there. I want you to look at this. Because this is the one that skinned me and still is. And let's go to verse in 1 Samuel 2. Let's go to verse 30. Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me, I shall be lightly esteemed. Now he was talking about the situation that Eli had put himself into. And you know, a lot of us as believers, if we're not careful, we can put ourselves in the same place even though we know the Lord, we can hear His voice, but yet are we doing what He asks us to do? And so today I'm going to share some things with you about love that's going to challenge you, because when it challenged me, and it challenged me to the core of my being, it'll do the same thing to you. Now, one of the things that I want to get across is that when we read here in Luke chapter 14, and we read about if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yet in his own life, also he cannot be my disciplined follower. Now, it would indicate that God wants to consume all of you and reject everyone else around. Now, I'm going to tell you something about love. You know, when I was going to Rhema, I heard one of the teachers tell us that agape was the God kind of love, and that the other three were the world kind of love. But I was going to Greek school at that time, and when I'd go to the Greek school and understand it from the perspective of the original text, and then I would go back and understand it for what I was being taught there at Rhema, I got confused because I didn't know how to put the two together to work. Has any of you ever run across that? Your teacher will tell you one thing, and the Bible says another, and you got to figure it out in between. It's called in between the ears, your brain. And so I was confused, and so I just let it go for a long time. But then, when I really began to press in and want to change some things in my life, I found that the issues that I wanted to change in my life were so much a part of my heart and so much a part of my understanding as passing through my natural mind, I didn't know how to change them. And one of the things that I learned is how much honor and value does God's Word carry with me? How much weight does it really have? And all of us are going to have to come to that decision in our life one day or another. I don't care what your life is going to come down to. It's going to come down to this one thing. What carries more weight in your life? Is it God having the preeminence, or is your own natural life having more of the preeminence? Because right after he says, take up your cross. You know what that means? It means the same position that God has declared your natural man in, the realm of your psuche, your soul, that sucker has got to go to Calvary, and it has to position itself in what Jesus has declared your outer man. Are you guys following me tonight, this morning?
Yeah, but I don't know whether I want to or not.
Well, with that said, turn over to John chapter 17, and I hope I don't start bawling. Because when I read these verses, I just start crying. I do not pray for these alone. Now, this is Jesus praying
to the Father just before he's taken to the cross. And I wish I had time to read the whole chapter, but I just want to start at verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who, now my translation, will believe. The word will is not there. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's referring to us people. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. And why could he say that? Because when the Father spoke in their heart, they received it. Not because God, through some preordained number, you were picked. No, it was because how you responded to him. And that is referring to the giving of yourself to God. So if you can give yourself to God, you will be able to give it to your neighbor. But all the responsibility that comes with that. And I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, brought to maturity, that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them. Whoa, can you grasp that? Has loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. They may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. The world, especially the English, this nation as a whole, they only know one word for the word love. They only know one word. And they can attach anything to it they want to. I love apple pie. Whew. Ooh, I like good apple pie. That is one thing that can come into my life on my table that I don't want to draw no boundaries around one little piece. I want the whole pie. I know some people that get depressed and they eat the whole sucker. Then they get depressed after eating the whole thing. Because all that food is now floating around on the inside of them to create something. So, the English only has one word to express all kinds of love. It's just called love. But the Greek has four. Four meanings for it. One is called eros. You won't find it in the Bible. Eros. You'll find the interpretation of it in the Bible. You won't find the word eros in the Bible. This is mainly used for the love between the sexes. The words for physical love. Its connection is with sexual love. A second one is called storge, which literally means a family affection. Now follow me. It means a love for people, for the ruler, a love for a nation, a love for a president. It's just talking about a family affection, a connection. But the regular use is to describe the love born out of relationships that occur. Matter of fact, it's found twice. Romans 12:10, kindly affection. And 2 Timothy 3:3, which implies that the Christian community is not a society, but a family. The third word that we find is the Greek word phileo.
it centers its focus more on personal family. The love of a husband and wife, best translated to cherish. Father and mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, relatives. That's where Luke 14 comes in. But listen, the fourth word is called agape. Now you might want to write these meanings down. But agape is a very interesting word, and this is what we're taught. That when God came into the world, He introduced agape. He did not. Did you know agape was in the world before Jesus entered it? Did you guys know that? The word agape has to do with the mind. It is a principle by which we deliberately choose to live. Agape is supremely to do with the will. It is, in fact, a deliberate conquest and achievement of the will of a person. Now, before Jesus came, man only knew how to apply it to himself, the word agape. Because all four of them were here before Jesus came on the scene. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I'll tell you what I mean by it. It means that all four of these meanings for love were rooted in mankind. They were rooted in this realm. They were rooted here. Now, let me share something with you about this being rooted here. These words are not capable of being used properly in and of themselves. They're not to be handled properly in and of themselves. Only one person is capable of filling up what was required for them, and that was the revelation of God's love through Jesus. Now you got to get a hold of this. These four loves were functioning in the world, but mankind did not know the proper application that they were rooted in. They were born into it. They just fell into these loves. It was a part of them. But because it was rooted in mankind, Jesus had to come and manifest the love of God separately from what was rooted in mankind to interpret how it should be rooted in God. Glory to God. He wasn't saying you got to hate your family. He's got to say you got to hate the kind of love that you emanate for your family without knowing how to root your love in God first. Are you getting this? So if you cannot love God with your whole being, you cannot love your neighbor as yourself. Again, agape is a principle by which we deliberately choose to live. And they were choosing to live by this principle, but it was all centered around themselves for what they could gain. I looked up four things that the Bible had to say about agape working in sinners. And your Bible is loaded with scriptures that says a sinner's agape. Here it is. A sinner agape because he had a certain attitude of the mind that he wanted. Sinners agape because they have a certain will towards men that they wanted. That they wanted. Number three, they had a certain achievement to succeed by in this world. They had a certain faith to have to achieve success in this life. That was the agape that was working in this world. It was all centered around self. It mentioned four areas: selfishness, self-centeredness, no faithfulness, no faith. And all four of these. And when I did a study on the love of God, I found that where you're selfish, God's love has no power. It has no strength in you. You can't give of yourself as long as you're self-centered. You got to learn how to get rid of yourself to love your neighbor. But where's your heart? Where's your mind? Where is your natural conscious life floating around? Where you're self-centered, God's love has no direction. It has no direction. Where there is no faithfulness, God's love has no strength. Endurance. It can't continue. And where there is no faith, God's love has no ground to root itself in. So if you're selfish, if you're self-centered, if you're unfaithful, if you have no faith, you will destroy God's ability to grow in your heart. Because you know how you grow in love? Are you ready? How you and I grow in love is that mankind that trespasses our life, we learn how to draw our strength and our faith and our trust through those trespasses. So we rise up above them and man don't undo us. Remember I told you about my wife's light bulb? Been up to the store several times. Come home. She can't see. See that light bulb there? She said, go get me a new one right up the store. Run right up to the store and get me a new one. I told her no. She said, I can't see. You know what I did with that statement? Blanked it out of my mind. Really, I was saying, I don't care. You know, when you're growing in love, you can't get away with hardly anything. So, Sue's upset because I'm not going to go down and get the light bulb. And I feel justified in my action. And I start down the hall. And God says, get me my light bulb. He didn't say hers. She said his. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Love God with your whole heart and your whole soul and your whole understanding as your neighbor. Yeah, because the body of Christ and mankind, I've joined myself to it. Again, these loves is not an achievement. It is something which we happen to us and which we cannot help. There is no particular virtue in falling in love with somebody. It is something with which we have little or nothing consciously to do with. It simply happens. We're simply born into them through this physical world. But the different word in agape is different, but the ground is different. To understand the love of God, you're talking about a love that emanates from the spirit realm, not the physical realm in its operation. God's love does not function through the physicalness of this world. It operates through the principles of that which is spiritual. We're going to end about marriage, divorce, and remarriage tonight. We're going to touch some very interesting thing. But I know Christian people who have said they love God with their whole heart, go out and hook up with somebody that's not even saved, has no love for God, has their own interpretation of life, and they've given themselves over to flesh, and they have become a slave to that kind of love, which they think will satisfy them, but in the long run, that love will come to an end when you start living with the dude or the woman for a while. You're going to find there is no agape working in them from the operation that the Lord has chosen, it only operates for their self-centeredness. And then for a man to corral a woman, he says, "You're to submit." That's what it says in the Bible. You know what that's called? Let me possess you and do whatever I want with your life. I don't care about the things of God. And we hook up with that. What fellowship has light with darkness? It's because you got too much of your physical needs in the way rather than your spiritual commitment to your heavenly Father. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know that word thinketh in the Hebrew means? Sa'ir. It means gatekeeper. You mean I'm the gatekeeper of my own thinking? Yep, you are. And seeing how you're the gatekeeper for your own thinking, is that good for you or is that bad for you? Because it comes up what you are. Now, you know, I help my son out on the base on Fridays. I go there and help him. And the season's coming up where things are going to get real busy. And in order for me to work on the base, I have to qualify to get on there. So what I have to do is I have to go according to the laws of the words that were laid out to be able to go on base and to hook up with a contractor there to do a job that we're being contracted to do. That's called Fort Lewis. And it has boundaries. And because it has boundaries, it has little gates at all the boundaries. And you have to pass through them. Now, let's say that you're watching the gate. You're going to be one of the gatekeepers. And that drives a little car with a little guy in it, and you stop him. You say, "What business have you got on base?" Let's call base heart. And so you say, "What business have you got on the heart of things here?" So the little guy says, "Well, my name is Hussein. And what I need to do is I need to go to the command post where everything's commanded from. And I've got a whole trunk load of C4, plastic explosive. I want to take it right to the command post because it will protect not only me, but it will protect them." So I'm being the gatekeeper. That's a good idea. Well, I'll tell you right where to go to take all that C4 that's going to protect you and them. You just go down the road, and as it curves a little bit, you come to a place called Command Post. You find all your generals, you find all your full bird colonels, you'll find the whole base right there. And you just go right in on there and tell them you got C4 to protect not only you, but them as well. Now, you know that's not what his intention is, because the last name Hussein might give us a clue. But then he says to the guy, he says, "Oh, I have something else to offer the base." "What's that?" "I'm Muslim." "Oh, you have a faith you want to..." "Good idea. I not only get protection out of you, I get a faith out of you. Come right on in." Drives in. A cataclysmic thing happens. And we all go, "What happened? How did that happen? Who was at the gate that allowed him through?" All of a sudden, "It ain't me. Yeah, I'm vindicating myself. He told me. No. We don't want to take that place of responsibility. But I'm going to tell you what. If you want to get in on that base where we all work, you got to have background checked. And then you get material that says you can come on there. You've also got a contractor that you're hooked up with that they also know that contractor should be on the base. And then your identification has to match the permit to allow you to come on." And so I call that being controlled by the word that they have established yourself in for you to travel on there.
Now, I got news for you. Proverbs chapter 6 very clearly tells us that we are put a guard over our heart. And that Proverbs 6 talks about the Word of God has to be what you see, has to be what you eat, has to be what you consume. It has to be everything that you are. You have to bend over and you have to pay attention to what's being said, because it will put a guard, it will put restrictions on your life that will permit good, healthy living in you. So that guy comes running up. Now I got the Word of God as my gatekeeper over me. So now I got the Word of God in me. And I'm still the gatekeeper, but now I am focused on the Word of God as my gatekeeper. And that guy comes driving up now and say, "Who's Hussein?" I'll have that guy strapped in irons quicker than he can say Jiminy Cricket and drag his car off and have it isolated to get rid of all the plastic. Why? Because I have the Word of God in my heart, drawing those geographical boundaries to which will allow me to love God with everything that's within me. So now, when I love God and love my neighbor, it's because it has something to do with my mind and my soul and my heart, to where I can take a principle by which we deliberately choose to live by, and which that principle supremely has conquered my will. It's a deliberate conquest of my will. I turn my will to change. And to love God like I'm supposed to. I'll tell you what, people, I don't want to stand before the Lord on that day and get a record of being lightly esteemed. God's love was not found in mankind. Jesus had to bring it to us through His life to understand its proper use. When He says, "And hate not your father," it means that He wants to take a love that is in God and put it in you so that you'd have the right kind of agape for your family. The right kind of phileo for your family. The right kind of storge for your family. The right kind of eros, sexual love in your life. Because God didn't come to remove one of those loves from you. He come to make them complete in their function in your life. So that when you have sexual fulfillment, it's honorable before God. When you have family affection with church members, it's honorable before God. If you have personal family and God's love is in it, you will give honor to your family. Because God's love is the only thing that can fill these loves in your life. Period. Over and out. What good does it do to love God with your whole heart and leave your neighbor out of the equation? Usually it's through unfaithfulness. You have to be faithful with your neighbor as you are with God. You have to be unselfish. Did you guys get something here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God's love can't get in your heart, you hate your family. If God's love can't get in your heart, you hate your friends. You know what you are? You're a hireling and you're an adulteress. If people can perform perfectly for you, then you won't be offended. But if they make mistakes, you'll take an offense. My Bible tells me, woe to the man who allows the offenses to come. Because with every offense, drive another wedge between you and that person. There was darkness operating in me. People, there's darkness operating in all of us. Why? Because many of us do not give our whole heart to God. Many of us don't give our whole soul to God. And many of us do not give our understanding to God. We only give a measure of it. But we don't want God to have it all. Like He said, to love Him with all. A-L-L. That means everything. We draw boundaries there. I did. Still do, and I'm still working that out of me. And with every opposition that comes my way, with every bit more of God putting a demand on me for commitment, talk about letting go of a little bit more of the all. God wants all of you. But your reward will come. Not that He has all of you there, that He gets all of you here.
Amen.
Because that's where He wants to reach all.
A-L-L.
Men and women, the best place to go for a dating service is Bible. Yeah, you looking for somebody to hook up with, to date, put a romance together? It's not going to be found in that world. You hook up Bible. Call Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Stand up, everybody. Well, Pastor, that ain't your opinion. I'll keep my opinion any day. If my opinion doesn't agree with your opinion, we'll check that out in the end with the fruit.
Right. Yep.
I want to do something different this morning. How many of you feel that this challenged you a little bit here this morning? Do you feel like kind of... I hope it really got into you real good, because it sure did me. And I don't want to be in this thing alone. Isn't that right? If it was there... Let's do a house cleaning. I'm okay. I've given God my whole heart. I've given Him all my soul. He's on my mind all the time. You're the first one that should scream down here and cry out to God for forgiveness. And why am I so free to say that? That's me. Every time God takes me a step closer to Him, the more I find that I got to get rid of me to get closer to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It all boils down to love, people. One word, love. How much do we love ourselves over the love of God? Whew. He didn't come to take any love from us. He came to make the love we have complete in Him. If we just uproot these loves out of our natural and put it into our spiritual existence, we will have a good marriage. We'll have good kids. Every time I see my son and my daughters and how they love God, what a feeling. I just say, thank you, Jesus. There had to have been something in me that caused them to turn towards you. What an honor, people. What an honor when your friends say, you're my friend. What an honor for them to count me their friend. What an honor when your friends say, you're my pastor. Bob was full of joy one day, and he grabs me in the sanctuary and he says, I'm happy because you're my pastor. Boy, I just wanted to fall on the floor and praise God and just cry like a baby. Because they're giving honor to you because God was working in her heart, not because you're something so special. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a dying world out to these walls. They need the love of God in you to reach. That love has always worked in my heart for my family. I always provided for my family. Isn't that not true, Sue? Lindsay? Kim? I've always been a man that would provide for my family. Because when I can't provide for my own, then I'm no different than an infidel. There's always something in your heart that has got to be willing to give. That is the basis for our existence in God. God draws you to Him for to get rid of you. Men, you ought to be providing for your family. If you're not providing for your family, don't think you're going to provide for the house of God. It's just a joke. Hallelujah. Well, did you guys get something today? Yeah, and I don't know where to put it. Father, I want us to do something different today. Let's all stand before the Lord and make a personal commitment in our heart that we will do everything we can to reach out and love the world as He loved us. That's what we'll be going into next. Father, as we all stand before You, I can't make this prayer for everyone here, but I can make it for myself. Father, continue to lead me in the way that I can give of myself more, so that I will be just like You in this world, so that when You appear, You will give me honor for being as You are in this world, being made mature in my love. Father, I will not take Your love lightly. Help me in the area of my heart, my mind, my soul to love You as You expect me to love. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to dismiss. Those of you that are here just visiting for the first time would like to meet with me, and we have a hospitality room in the back. We just want to invite you to go back there and meet with us. We have some things we want to share with you. If you've been here on several visits and haven't met, just feel free to do that. The rest of you are free to go. If you've never been born from above, I want to encourage you to come forward to receive the new birth. Whatever you need, Jesus' name.